you have all enjoyed this month's, well, this year's One School, One Book as much as I have. It's been 10 years, and I'm not sure I could have read a better book to celebrate that 10th year. So here we go, the final few chapters of Wish Tree. Dave had a megaphone, and through it, he reminded the crowd to stay behind the barriers that had been erected. "This is a big tree, folks," he said. "And when it goes, we don't want anyone else going with it." "Bongo," I said in a voice that only she could hear, "you need to get to a safe place. You heard him. I'm a big tree. You don't want to be in the way when I fall." "I'm not going anywhere," she replied in a stubborn whisper. "Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. But I'm staying with you, Red, and that's final." Dave turned to his workers. "Okay, let's get this show on the road." "Please, Bongo," I said softly but urgently. The saw moved closer. I waited, expecting to hear the painful roar of the chainsaw engine. Instead, a small but intense sound filled the air, something like a puppy growl mixed with a kitten hiss. It was a baby opossum. Darting through the huge crowd across the muddy lawn, past Dave and his crew, around the massive saw, beneath the stump grinder, and finally, triumphantly, up my trunk, was none other than Flashlight. He climbed straight to his former hollow and settled there, his tiny head poking out. He was panting and trembling and hiccuping, but he did not seem to be in any danger whatsoever of fainting. "I missed you, Red," he said in a voice so small that only Bongo and I could hear it.
"Hold off on the saw," Dave yelled. "Some dang animal just ran up the trunk."
Bongo popped out of her hollow. "Flash," she hissed. "You can't be here. It's dangerous. They're about to, you know." "You're here," Flash pointed out. Across the grass streaked hairy spiders with her other babies trailing. She went straight to the possum hollow, where she proceeded to scold Flash as she snuggled him close. In the sky, little Harold suddenly appeared, frantically flapping his wings like a fuzzy butterfly. Agnes and the rest of her brood followed. They settled into their old home as if they'd never left. Bongo moved to home plate to make room for the owls. The ewes came next, trotting across the lawn. Last to join the group was the skunk family, who quickly scrambled up my trunk. 7 possums, 4 raccoons, 5 owls, and 6 skunks had waddled, scooted, dashed, and fluttered from their various homes just to see me off. My residents. My friends. The crowd was delighted. People applauded. They cheered. They laughed. Francesca, straining to get a look, accidentally let go of the kittens' leashes, allowing Lewis and Clark to escape. They ran straight to me, clambering up my trunk to join the gang. It wasn't all perfection. The babies and parents were grumbling, but softly enough that none of the humans could hear. "Ouch," muttered Hot Buttered Popcorn. "Your tail is in my mouth," cried one of the ewes.
"You smell like skunk," someone complained.
"I am a skunk," came the reply.
"Mom," asked Harold, "should I be afraid of a cat?"
"As a rule, yes," said Agnes, "but this is a special circumstance." It took some effort, but eventually the entire group settled in together above the highest wishes. They gazed down calmly at the fascinated crowd below. One of the tree cutters took off his helmet and scratched his head.
"This just don't happen," he said to Dave. "Those animals ought to be eating each other."
"It's some kind of crazy critter miracle," said another worker. He pulled out his smartphone.
"This is going on Facebook."
Lots of other people seemed to have the same idea. Cameras clicked away. Ignoring the barricades, the reporters dashed over, microphones extended, as if they were hoping to interview the animals. Bongo, always a bit of a ham, was happy to comply.
"Chip, please," she said to the microphone, waving beneath her.
Dave gestured helplessly at Francesca.
"What is up with the menagerie, lady? How are we supposed to cut this tree down?"
Francesca, wiping away tears, stood. She put her arms around Stephen and Samar. Slowly, they made their way across the muddy grass.
When she reached me, she pulled a bookmark from Maeve's journal before handing the book to Stephen. It was a strip of cloth made of blue-striped fabric, frayed and faded. Maeve's wish. Carefully, Francesca tied it to my lowest branch, already crowded with wishes. She stared, long and hard, at the animals. Lewis and Clark purred happily. The crowd quieted. The only sound was the rustling of my leaves. Finally, Francesca spoke. "Look, I don't do speeches. That's not my way," she patted my trunk. "But here's the thing. Until today, I'd almost forgotten how important this old tree is to my family story. And from the look of it," she pointed to my residence, "it's important to a few other families as well." Many people smiled. A few laughed. "I hate this word," Francesca continued, running her hand over my carved bark. "Hate it. My great-grandmother Maeve would have hated it just as much. Here in this neighborhood, we're better than this." She looked over at Samar's parents. "We don't threaten people here. We welcome them." Francesca reached for Samar's hand. "This tree is staying put, and I hope your family will too." Chapter 50. That night, many hours after the crowd had scattered, Samar slipped out the front door of the little blue house. Stephen, who'd been watching from his bedroom window, joined her moments later. They sat, silent, beneath my wish-laden boughs. The slightest breath of wind sent the index cards fluttering like huge moths. Moonlight was everywhere, it seemed, on the wishes, on my branches, on the downy-headed owlets, in the upturned gazes of Stephen and Samar. How beautiful we all were, bathed by the soft and silver light. "Do you think your family will stay here?" Stephen asked. "After everything that's happened?" "I don't know," said Samar. "I hope so." The breeze kicked up. Cards chattered. Ribbons danced. A scrap of notebook paper, loosely tied with red yarn to my lowest branch, broke free. Samar snatched it as it swooped past. She squinted at the scribbled writing. Then she stood, carefully tying the paper back onto my branch. "What was the wish for?" Stephen asked. "An invisible robot that does homework." "Seems unlikely." "True." Samar leaned against my trunk and smiled. "But then, so does a talking tree." Chapter 51. If this were a fairy tale, I'd tell you there was something magical about the wishing day, that the world changed and we all lived happily ever after. But this is real life, and real life, like a good garden, is messy. Some things have changed, some things haven't. Still, optimist that I am, I'm feeling hopeful about the future. Samar's parents decided not to move, at least not for a while. Stephen and Samar have become good friends. Sometimes they do their homework at the base of my trunk. Their parents still don't talk to one another. I'm not sure they ever will. The police never found the boy who carved "leave" into my trunk, but a couple of weeks ago, I saw him sauntering by. I pointed him out to Bongo. Let's just say she made a very large deposit that day. All my residents are back where they belong, safe in their hollows. They still argue sometimes, but they haven't yet eaten one another. Francesca applied to the city to make me a heritage tree. That means I'm protected forever. She's also on a first-name basis with a local plumber who's learning to deal with my pushy roots. Lewis and Clark still haven't figured out how to walk on leashes. Bongo's made a new friend. His name is Harley Davidson. I suspect we may have some crow newbies in our future. As for me, I promise Bongo I will never be a Budinsky again. I told her that my meddling days are over. And yet, here we are, you and I. What can I say? I'm more talkative than most trees. Still, if you find yourself standing near a particularly friendly-looking tree on a particularly lucky-feeling day, it can't hurt to listen up. Trees cannot tell jokes, but we can certainly tell stories. Well, I hope you enjoyed this book. And I hope you have a great rest of the year. If you ever need a book recommendation, please come down to the library and see me or Mrs. Kimball. We've read a lot of them. Over and out. And until next year, this is Mrs. Michalowski saying goodbye.